W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden at a state dinner in Paris, where he and the First Lady were welcomed, and he described the two countries as enduring allies.
France is our first ally, and that's not insignificant. The fact of the matter is, you were with us to help us secure our freedom, and we are with you 170 years later.
Referring to the Second World War, the president traveled to France to mark 80 years since D-Day. Today, his trip will conclude with a visit to where American war dead from the First World War are buried. The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry now says 274 people were killed and nearly 700 hurt in the operation Saturday that freed four Israeli hostages. Beaches have reopened in the waters off the Florida Panhandle, where a woman and two teenage girls were hurt in shark attacks on Friday. Authorities are patrolling the waters and warning people of the risk. This is ABC News. Sheriff's deputies in Georgia are being praised as heroes for stopping a possible mass shooting early Saturday morning. ABC's Dave Packer has details.
Augusta law enforcement says it could have been a lot worse. Several sheriff's deputies just happened to be downtown when they saw two men open fire with assault-style rifles in the middle of a crowded sidewalk. Richmond County Sheriff Richard Roundtree says the deputies returned fire.
There's no doubt that without swift and heroic efforts to neutralize a heavily armed gunman, the potential for massive loss of life was extremely great.
They struck one of the suspects who was hospitalized along with two victims, all expected to survive. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Florida Panthers won Game 1 of the NHL Stanley Cup Final. They blanked the Edmonton Oilers 3-0. Tonight, it's Game 2 of the NBA Finals in Boston. The Celtics trying to take a 2-0 series lead over the Dallas Mavericks. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you! Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Older adults in Wisconsin enjoy a better than average quality of life. But as Mike Moan reports, concerning challenges persist.
United Health Foundation has released its America's Health Rankings 2024 Senior Report. Nationally, high-speed internet access rose to nearly 85%. However, an additional 500,000 older adults fell into poverty. Wisconsin ranks 11th overall for well-being metrics for those 65 and older. But Janet Zander of the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources says many seniors not having enough money to cover the rising cost of basic expenses overshadows some of the positive results.
Health, housing, and food taking up far more than they actually make. And so we are very concerned about that trend continuing.
On top of that, she warns that many aid programs and services older adults rely on are not seeing the funding increases that keep pace with demand. Dr. Rhonda Randall, a geriatrician and a chief medical officer with United Healthcare, says the annual findings are trying to add more nuance and data than previous reports.
This report now looks at things like disability status, sexual orientation, and veteran status. So it really gives state policymakers and public health officials an ability to understand where the disparities exist.
For example, in Wisconsin, drug deaths were nearly 11 times higher among older Black adults than their white counterparts. Nationally, overall drug deaths for this population have increased by more than 50% when compared to pre-pandemic reports. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Of gathering clouds later on today, highs near the 70-degree mark and a gusty northwest wind. Overnight, those clouds will clear out, lows dropping to the upper 40s. On Monday, plentiful sunshine across the area, upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Right now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, it's week two of Joe Biden's top 100. We've covered the economy. Next up, education. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, again, I'm right once a day, and I really appreciate it, Chujunk.
Of course.
been a long day for me, working hard, and I'm in, as you know, in New York, and the weather is beautiful here, but I hear you got some thunderstorms and rain happening there in the Midwest.
Yeah, do we have some thunder beings on their way? Well, it has clouded up quite a bit. But I won't complain. We always need rain.
Yeah, we need Wendy on the show because she loves doing the weather. It sounds like you don't know what the weather is, Haley.
Well, it was sunny all day. I mean, blue sky, hot as heck, which I'm not a huge fan of the heat. So it's a little too humid for me. I'm a baby.
No, I'm with you. You have an old soul, and us old people don't like the heat. Ho-wah.
Yeah, I'll stay in my AC, luckily.
Hey, tomorrow I'll be doing a secret assignment in the New York City in the Bronx, and we're going to have Arvina Martin guest host, and I know you're excited, Haley, to get a break from me.
Oh, no. We love you, Dega. We can't do the show without the host, but Arvina Martin is a really great filler, and yeah, I'm excited. I love our all Ho-Chunk show, especially when it's an all-girl show. I think that's always really fun. So excited to get her back on. And another, I believe, our guest right now that we have on, has she guest hosted before too?
I don't know. I don't think so, but
we should
trick her into it sometime. let's get her on.
Hey, Ruth Buffalo.
Hey, Dosha. Good to see you both.
Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. It's great that you're becoming a semi-regular here on Tuesday nights and checking in on the great work that you're doing. And, of course, I want to introduce you to everybody because they know you as one of our representatives of the Dakotas there. But you're now president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we're always great to hear updates and what's happening in that realm.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we had another amazing, beautiful day here at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We had a cool event downstairs, a kinship care support group. And so it sounded like it was amazing. There was wild rice hot dish that was served and a lot of sharing and coming together. And it's the first of many support group convenings for our relatives who provide kinship care for their relatives.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about what kinship care is to our listeners out there?
Sure. It's basically, in short, it's when our relatives step up and step forward and lean in to take care of their relatives so that it prevents their relatives from going into different systems. Our Family Services Department here at MIWRC has two ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Care Act, kinship workers who do a lot of outreach and support for our relatives who are taking care of their relatives. And it's to ultimately keep families together, strengthen that family unit while being rooted in our values as tribal peoples.
Yeah, that is awesome, and I believe that it's so important to talk about that too. It's with the ICWA and things that we need. Minnesota, unbelievably, has one of the highest, if not the highest, percentage of Native kids in foster care.
Yes, I remember that statistic loud and clear. And yes, and I know, you know, within this past year, 2 years, you know, there's been a lot of movement at the state legislative levels to codify, you know, ICWA and to make sure that there are protections in place for our relatives. But yes, it's crazy, right? Because I think when we look back at the timeline of federal Indian law and policy, was it 1977 the American Indian Religious Freedom Act was enacted? But then wasn't there an overlap too? I know with VAWA, or the prosecution of non-natives, those rights were stripped, I think, with a year later. And then also ICWA, something with ICWA also happened around that same time. So it was kind of like a high and a low, you know. So
yeah,
but yes, it's there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done, but it's beautiful to see our relatives stepping up and stepping forward to ensure that our relatives stay together and provide that wraparound love that is needed and that is and always has been existing within our communities. Because I think back to this really horrible letter to the editor that was written when I was in office in North Dakota regarding ICWA. And it was just terrible how politicized our Native children are, you know, as a result. But there was a terrible letter to the editor that was written that said, you know, Native children, you know, that they're best to find love in a non-Native family because a Native family wasn't capable of giving that love and nurture. And it was like, what? And so I remember at that time, NARF and other national, you know, NICWA, they all were able to write a response to that letter to the editor, you know. So it's just, yeah. That comes to mind.
Yeah, well, and we appreciate that. That's crazy that that people think that way, and to bring that up, I appreciate that. It's sometime we're in an insulated world, and I know there was a blood memory. The star blood memory was Sandy Whitehawk, and I asked her years ago on this show, what can we do for parents? You know, how can we support parents? And she said something really interesting that it's always stuck with me, that give them the money that you would give somebody for foster caring. Give the family the money so they can keep the, you know, the children within their family. And I know with the economy the way it is for a lot of us, it's hard for single mothers, and we all have to step in. All the family members have to step in and help. Even married couples, it's just really, really expensive now, Ruth.
Yes, completely. We are in challenging times, and that was quite honestly one of the most common remarks that were always shared to me, even when I was in office from 2018 to 2022 in North Dakota, representing South Fargo, District 27. But that was one of the most consistent comments that I would receive from people across the state, was that relatives want to step forward and care for their loved ones, but the monetary, you know, not having the means to do so, you know, was always a barrier. And so I know there's work to address that, to alleviate that barrier. You know, now we have, you know, kinship is being uplifted and amplified. So that's a beautiful thing.
It really is. And I'm so happy you're on here giving us updates, because what the work you guys do is so important and people need to know about it. So, hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, and we the president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And we'll be right back after this short break.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Can't hear you, Robert.
I was just talking to the dog here, and I happened to say we're here with Ruth Buffalo. Thanks, Haley. Ruth Buffalo, and she is the president and CEO of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And we're really always excited to have you on and talk about the great work you're doing and a lot of stopgapping here for our families and our people in need. And there's also great things going on there, too. Let's talk about what's happening at the resource center.
Yeah, we have, we did have a SUD, substance use disorder informational session and training for tomorrow, but it sounds like it's going to be, rescheduled. And so, be on the lookout for an update on that rescheduling of the SUD training. And we also have, I believe, medicine bag making on June 20th during the day or late afternoon. And then we're going to jump right into a taco fundraiser and I believe movie night on June 20th at the community room here at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, 2300 15th Avenue South here in the Phillips neighborhood. And so we're, you know, really trying to stabilize all of our existing programs. We have an amazing traditional birthing program with doulas. We have the drop-in center that is serves our, you know, underserved relatives, unhoused relatives, you know, on the daily And so just trying to find ways to stabilize our funding and our programs so that we can continue to keep our doors open, because we are, you know, in a transformation in our organization, and it's going to take some time to stabilize our funding. So with that, you know, if people wish to donate, that would be amazing. miwrc.org/donate. And so, yes, we are, you know, working diligently to stabilize our funding, keep our doors open for seven generations and beyond, because the work that our employees, our staff do here, like you mentioned, is so critically important to the community. The drop-in center, you know, they help, they actually connect a lot of our unhoused relatives to services. And they have a lot of success stories of connecting individuals to housing, you know, getting housing stabilization there. We also have a housing navigator on board here, you know, a Section 8 housing coordinator who does a lot of work. And a lot of our programs, there's overlap, you know, with New Jamal, She Heals, sexual assault, domestic violence, human trafficking. So we definitely have a wraparound approach, you know, wraparound services in-house where there's overlap from one department to the next. And then we have a learning center, and that program provides like the training to the public. Like we just finished a Native American curriculum training that is more tailored to non-natives, non-tribal people who do work and serve the Native tribal population. And so that was a three-day training that was held late last week, and got to visit briefly with a couple of the trainers, and they're, you know, just amazing people who love to come back and provide that training here every year, and it's super beneficial to the community.
Yeah, that sounds good. We get a lot of questions, and I really believe that's why Native Roots Radio has been so successful over the last 7 years, is that we have people like you speaking to our allies across Turtle Island here about things that are indigenous and how we feel and things like that. So it's so important. I got one quick question. What movie are you going to be showing?
That is to be determined. I know we've been throwing around. It's going to be a surprise, I believe. But I know we've been throwing around, you know, different, you know, just brainstorming. There's so many good favorites out there. But yeah, I believe that will be to be determined.
The curiosity approach. I like that.
Yeah.
Haley, you have any questions? I know you've been down there and you see the great work that they're doing.
I know. I was really excited to hear about the curriculum training, because just over my experience working with behavioral health professionals and especially like some of our white allies, they always seem to have questions and I don't always feel like I have the right answers. So I feel like the curriculum training at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is just a really great resource. And I guess, is this just a one-time, one-a-year type of thing? Or are you guys going to hold more trainings throughout the year?
That's a really good question. Right now, I believe it is annually, but I think, you know, if there's a demand, of course, we'll for sure meet that demand. And I think one exciting thing that we're a part of too here at MIWRC is that we are also a part of the Indigenous, you know, Earth Justice Collaborative. We just had a meeting today with the different partners, and it's exciting as we ramp up efforts to, you know, help with the bringing something to fruition that has been in the works for the past 2 years of the first Indigenous birthing center to be housed here in South Minneapolis is pretty amazing. So it's pretty cool to hear, you know, the different key partners at the table, like Dr. Anthony Stately, his wife, Ramona, are, you know, leading those efforts. So it's pretty cool to see that this is now coming to fruition. And, you know, after the bill was, you know, it was an appropriations bill that was passed in the Minnesota state legislature. So it's pretty exciting and cutting edge, and it's awesome to be a part of it.
Well, and I don't know if people realize we got over 28 stations across the country that are listening to you right now. I don't know if they realize how great of a place you are, where we have all these other groups. You talked about Dr. Stately, all these other Native groups down the Franklin corridor to work with, and it's a great place to be. A big population of urban Indians here in Minneapolis.
For sure. I mean, it is a breath of fresh air. I mean, it is amazing to see the good work, the good heart work that is here and that continues to be. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So we got a couple more minutes. I always have to honor my wife, because she always says with our guest, ask them what they want to talk about. So we got a couple minutes here. That's spitball what you'd like to talk about or promote or whatever's going on. How's your new house? I mean, it's you know, now that you've moved here in Minnesota, and how long does it take to be a true Minnesotan? A few years? I know you've been here before.
Yes. So yeah, the boy twin is here with me this week, so it's been fun, and we both, you know, we stayed in the new place last night on some cots, but we're hoping to check out one of our favorite spots here. It's pretty beautiful in this amazing area. We went there yesterday evening and then found a new little restaurant to check out, and he approves of it, the boy twins. Uh-huh. So he wants to return there tonight after we go back to the same spot to go, you know, enjoy being out in nature and getting some walking in. But yeah, just looking forward to you know, having more of my family members here with me, and I think that's going to be super nice, and looking forward to, you know, looking forward to that.
Well, you talk about your secret place, Minnesota, and I mean the Twin Cities have such nice urban, I don't know, urban lakes, urban falls, urban rivers. It's beautiful here.
It is. It really is. You know, I enjoy the drive to work. I mean, there's a couple different ways to get here, but there's one in particular that I like the scenery. It's a lot of green, you know. So yeah, it's beautiful here. It is for sure very beautiful.
Well, I just want to say, and Haley will amplify this, that we are so happy to be with you on Tuesdays, but also that you're here in the Minnesota and the Twin Cities helping our big community out, and I just can't say enough, right, Haley?
Oh yeah. Well, it takes, you know, a really great big leader to help a community like this, and especially a woman leader. So, you know, just really happy to have you here, and thanks for being our Tuesday guest.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think just the common theme for me is just healing. It just seems to be a lot of healing taking place, and mutually. So it's beautiful to be a part of.
Yeah, well, this is Ruth Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, CEO and president. A big peeny giggy thank you so much for coming on. And I'm going to have to, like, follow you and see where you and your family are going there.
I know, it's like, if you can watch, we'll run into each other and we'll be like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. I know that place. I walk there. It's got a falls and everything. Hey, thanks. Thanks, Ruth. We'll see you next week, or if not before, out on the avenue and in the community.
Lots of good ads.
Right on. Wow, we enjoy having Ruth on, Haley.
Yeah, always. Always really a great conversation when we have Ruth Buffalo on.
Hey, we got State Representative Heather Keeler up next, and we got a lot to talk about with her. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden at a state dinner in Paris, where he and the First Lady were welcomed, and he described the two countries as enduring allies.
France is our first ally, and that's not insignificant. The fact of the matter is, you were with us to help us secure our freedom, and we're with you 170 years later.
Referring to the Second World War, the president traveled to France to mark 80 years since D-Day. Today, his trip will conclude with a visit to where American war dead from the First World War are buried. The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry now says 274 people were killed and nearly 700 hurt in the operation Saturday that freed four Israeli hostages. Beaches have reopened in the waters off the Florida Panhandle, where a woman and two teenage girls were hurt in shark attacks on Friday. Authorities are patrolling the waters and warning people of the risk. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers rallied to win again. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Milwaukee won 5-4 over the Detroit Tigers on Saturday thanks to the bullpen and timely hitting by Jackson Churio, who drove in two runs in the top of the sixth inning to lift the Brewers to victory. Starting pitcher Freddie Peralta only made it to the fourth inning, but the bullpen got the job done.
You know, it tells you. You know, well-rested pen, and you got Koenig, Paredes, Hudson, Piamps, McGill. That's pretty good right there. And we had Hobie in the wings in case anything got wobbly.
Bryce Wilson will pitch the series finale for Milwaukee against the Tigers on Sunday. Host Steve Stricker and Ernie Els lead the AmFam Championship at University Ridge at 9-under par after the second day. Wisconsin native Jerry Kelly, a two-time champion in the event, is tied for fourth place, three shots back of the leaders. The event wraps up today. And the Boston Celtics and Dallas Mavericks are back at it tonight in Game 2 of the NBA Finals. The Celtics have a 1-0 lead in the series. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some gathering clouds later on today. Highs near the 70-degree mark and a gusty northwest wind. Overnight, those clouds will clear out, lows dropping to the upper 40s. On Monday, plentiful sunshine across the area, upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Right now, it's 55.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows, say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
June 11th through the 14th from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Have a great weekend. Coming up on Monday, meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us to give us a look at the weather for the week ahead.
And then Chad Cornett from Cantilever Studio stops by to talk about some of the interesting work he's involved in.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Or call them at 612. Oh, it went down.
Oh.
Pop that up again. 612-597-0421. 597-0421.
Nice.
You're messing with me today, Haley.
I didn't know you never read those.
Well, you know, I got to keep you on your toes. Hey, we are with Heather Keeler, representative, soon to be senator someday. And
never. No,
never, she says.
Well, before we get into, we just had to put some tobacco out for you for the last day of session. Oh, my goodness. How abusive are these Republicans? The news did not really give its due on how bad things were. And so we just say a big peeny geegy thank you for putting up with all that and for our people.
Yeah, I think that's part of the gig, right? And I think we saw it in, you know, the community and the state saw it in the last couple minutes or the last hour. And the truth is, like, that's just kind of what we deal with in the legislation all the time. You know, there's a majority and a minority, and we both have our roles, and there's a time frame. You know, the athlete in me often thinks of it as a sport. You know, our goal is to get as much good done for Minnesota in the time frame that we have. And the opposition or the defense, you know, is to try to stop us from doing that. And so there was hours of filibustering on things like cheeseburgers and that pig sweat. And, you know, I think that Minnesotans in general want us to be having intellectual, robust conversations about meaningful policies that really matter. And though it kind of looked weird at the end, we did what we had to do to get the budget bills that really matter to all of Minnesotans across the finish line. And so for that, you know, we're proud of the work that we did. And we tried to play as nice as we could until we just couldn't anymore. And I'm really proud of our leadership for the way that she handled it. Our speaker, Hortman, did a fantastic job in a really crucial time. So thanks for the tobacco and the prayers. It's taken us a while to all recover from that. But leading up to that, you know, we're on the floor 12 to 14 hours a day for days in a row for months. And so it was exhausting. So we're all kind of recovering from that and back on the campaign trail.
Yes. Can't wait. The exciting time for us in Minnesota. And I know people that listen to us all over the country are really envious about what we have going on here in Minnesota. And, you know, State Representative Heather Keeler, you're a huge, huge part of that. And especially when it comes to our native voice. And I just want to say a big peeny geegy.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to do this work. It's hard and it's emotional. And I feel like every 2 years I have to really do a deep dive and like, do I want to keep doing this work? And the hard is really hard, but the reward is so worth it. And I put a post up on my social media today saying like, we need more people to run in these positions. And, you know, my story is not fantastic. I'm a single mom. I, you know, was an Indian education liaison for a long time. I went to school in my late 30s to get my bachelor's and my master's. You know, I'm running around chasing my oldest kid to all of his sports. I'm struggling with Indian education PTAC. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I'm an everyday person. And it matters to have those of us who are similar to me in my story in our seats, whether it's school board, county commission, your mayor, you know, it doesn't have to be state or federal seats. And so, you know, it's hard, but we need to be here. And I hope that like our stories encourage other people to be here, because the truth is we don't have the capacity to last as long because of how hard it is on us. And so we're back at it.
Yeah, well, just to take a quick pause, I want to give you a big congratulations on your oldest son graduating. And what a proud mother and what a proud community we have for your son. And just the future so bright. And obviously it's reflection on his mother.
Yeah. Now you're going to make me get emotional because, you know, like I can talk about a lot of things. Talking about my kids, man. you know, being a single mom and really fighting against a lot of the poverty standards and, you know, busting through some of these ceilings is hard. But being able to watch my kid graduate and go to college, and he's going to play football at college, and like college was always part of our conversation, was just so powerful. Like, I came from a generation that college was not something that was common to me. The generation before me was definitely not that. Before that, it was boarding schools, you know? And so like, it's been really moving to watch the transition of generational power through education, you know, with my kid. And he's, you know, one of the things he did was he smudged at the beginning of every football game, and he really hopes to do that at college. And so not only is he smart and he finished school, he's also like carrying this cultural component to it, which makes me so, so proud in many ways.
Yeah, well, and we hold on to the pride too, as a community, and knowing you, and my buttons were busting too, and it's a community thing, and I hate to be a cliche, it takes a village, but it definitely takes a village to support. And I feel like Wendy and I and Haley love you and support you and your family. Whenever we see you, it's always a good feeling.
It really is. It's Metakiape. That's our relatives. You know, that's who we are. And I am so grateful for all the communities that I have that really have become family to me. And you guys were the first, you know, I mean, I feel like we talk a lot about our first conversations over 5 years ago, really getting into this idea of like, do I even belong in these spaces? And I think the answer is yes, I absolutely belong, and more of us do as well.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I want to just, before we get into what's going on around this, the Twin Cities and what you're doing, I see you have a excellent mic there, and you're going to be podcasting soon, I hear.
That's the goal. Yeah. I mean, it's always been an idea to share the messages of hope with people. And I talk a lot about busting through glass ceilings. You know, there's been these invisible barriers for many of us to get into spaces, and it's hard to bust through glass ceilings. It's painful. But leaving those glass crumbs or breadcrumbs for the next generation so that, you know, once we get into these spaces that were not designed for us, more people can follow. And I think it's a really powerful move. And so, yep, Glass Crumbs is going to be the podcast. We're going to be interviewing people who are in spaces doing fantastic things and having honest conversations about what maybe the next generations or other people need to hear to get into those spaces as well, and a message of hope, encouragement, and inspiration.
Well, I hope you come on before you release it, so we can really get a big push out there for our listeners to listen on in. And so we're excited to again support you in your journey. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I've talked to other guests recently about when we were doing the Sunday night symposiums, and we heard about Heather Keeler, and everyone was excited that she ran for, or she ended up signing up for a state representative instead of, I think it was school board, right?
School board. Yep.
Yeah. And the buzz was out there, and we were able to get you on in between your campaigning during the middle of COVID. And I mean, those are just powerful memories that I have, and I know Wendy has in our relationship with you and your journey.
I feel like we used the radio station to make sure our relatives were okay. Like, it was just such a different time, and it was such a powerful movement for us to join in that moment. Like, we weren't talking about go out and vote because it's the right thing to do. We were like, hey, how are you? Are you doing okay? Oh, and by the way, you should vote too. Like, it was just a very different world. And it feels like a long time ago, but really not that long ago. So yeah, that was meaningful.
Yeah. And we had people from all over Turtle Island. I remember when Trump tried to delist one of the first tribes that the Mayflower met. And we had him on, the leader there. And it was just like, it was weird timing. And we had 10,000-20,000 people listening to us on just Facebook Live because it was the Sunday night symposium.
We should do that again. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, now that you got a nice mic, I'm going to have big help from you then. Ho-wah.
Ho-wah. That's why I got the mic.
Right on. Hey, there's some things going on this week or the next week or so, and I know that are near and dear to your heart. And I know we've talked about it here on Native Roots Radio with Dr. Stately, but the grand opening of Red Lake Nation College is something that everyone should be applauding for.
Yes. So this is something that I take a lot of pride in. I think President Dan King is actually listening. I was like, hey, I'm going to talk about it. But, you know, it was one of the first things I was able to do as a legislator in a very, very bipartisan way, because when I came in 2021, the Senate was in the Republican control. And so we really had to work, you know, together to get things done differently than we did in this most recent term. And so I remember having a conversation with Dan King, and he's like, we need money because tribal colleges like don't get any money. And I remember thinking, like, that's the silliest thing. Mm. The return on investment when we invest in us and through education, like, we bring that back to our communities trifold at a minimum. And so I committed to him, you know, not only because he's stellar and the movement in which Red Lake Nation College is moving is fantastic, and I'll support it forever, but just my history in education and how powerful it was to me, and knowing that, you know, everybody says representation matters, and this is that. It's representation in the middle of a metropolitan city. I mean, it's beautiful. The facility is one of the most fantastic facilities I've ever seen. It overlooks U.S. Bank Stadium. Like, it's phenomenal, and it is going to empower our next generation, and I'm so proud of it. So, yep, it's Thursday, kicks off at 2, goes until 6. I encourage everybody to stop by and get to know what's in your community and get engaged, because, I mean, education is definitely where it's at. The work we've been able to do through bonding and ongoing support to make sure that they have the operational money that they need to continue to grow, we'll be celebrating. So hope you guys can join us.
Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler of the great state of Minnesota. And what a great job you do on the radio, and you're going to have a great podcast. We're going to be back after this short break and talk a little bit more about Red Lake Nation. And also, we got to talk about Pride, too. We got a big show going on during the parade, and we'll be marching in the parade, and maybe you'll be down for the parade. I'm not sure, Heather. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
At Fleet Farm, we know every new day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday workwear, from Carhartt, Ariat, and Dickies. Everyday lawn and garden, from Scotts, Husqvarna, and Miracle-Gro. Everyday tools from DeWalt, Milwaukee, and Craftsman. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wait, I don't think Heather howled with us. Did you howl with us?
She's on mute.
Oh, I made that mistake earlier in the show. I was talking. Well, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and a lot going on in the Twin Cities. I want to give a big shout out to this is Pride Month, and I don't know if you know, but we're going to be doing a live show on Saturday at Pride, and we're going to also be in the parade. So I want to throw that out to you as an invite, if you want to join us and come into the parade and march with us and get one of those rainbow resist shirts we have. Ho-wah.
You have a Rainbow Resist shirt, and I need to be first on the list to receive one of those, first of all.
Same. Right, I'm like, I don't even know if I have that.
Right? See? Tell me when they're ready. I'm not sure what my plans are. I feel like Pride is always so busy. And that's also the same weekend that I have Sundance back home. And so, like, there's just pieces to the puzzle that we have to try to get to. But it was cool. We walked in the Pride parade last year, and it was fantastic. I've never experienced a space with so many people celebrating, like, queer love, right? So it was pretty cool. I'd love that for you guys.
Yeah, 500,000 people on the parade route. So I don't know if you know about this about me, Heather, but I had the opportunity in 2014 to do the Macy's Day Parade, and there's 4 million people on the parade route, but this is a lot shorter route and more condensed, so it'll be fun.
What did you do for the Macy's Day Parade?
Well, this is interesting.
Like, so a band?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So we're on 28 other stations in Wisconsin, and I can say this. I was in the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps, and we had the alumni for the last 100 years being it. So we had like 300 members. But I got some TV time, too. I was out of step, but I got some TV time.
Out of step. Your rhythm. I love that. Great job. Great job. You were famous long before you were famous.
Always a legend in my own mind. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on with you up there? I know you got to prepare. We want to really support and get the candidates on. We got the big national convention in Chicago coming in, and the DNC. All these things are happening, and it's exciting and scary for me at the same time.
Yeah. So for us in Minnesota, what's happening today, it's Tuesday. So whether you hear this on a repeat or not, right? Today was the last day that candidates running for a state seat could file. And so that's kind of when we know what the races look like, who is out there, if there's any primaries or any challengers. I didn't get a Republican challenger until this afternoon. And so, you know, it's nice because for us now it really launches the campaign season. We know who our opponents are. We know what to do, and we know the plan. So, yeah, getting into that. But also just because we were in the majority, you know, we don't want to get complacent with that. It takes a lot of work to get out into communities. And as you guys know, I'm a Greater Minnesota member, and like far Greater Minnesota. Like, I live 4 hours away from the cities. And so I'm not a suburb. I'm not, you know, stone's throw away from the cities. But I'm also not a rural community. Often people think if you're outside of the metro area that we're these really small rural communities. And the truth is, Moorhead is not that. You know, we're 40,000 people. We have a robust school system and three higher education institution systems here. And so I really try to be a voice for the Greater Minnesota cities. And so I'm going to be doing a lot of work in Bemidji and Duluth and down in Winona and Rochester and Mankato to really engage our community just in voting. You know, we don't have great voter turnout. And to be quite frank, like, I don't care who you vote for. I mean, I have my preference who I vote for and my reasons. But at the end of the day, it's democracy. And we all need to get involved. And, you know, to have some communities that are in the 40% of voter turnout is just not accurate for the voice of Minnesota. And so, you know, my goal in this campaign is obviously to win again, but to also encourage people to engage in our election cycles, because I think it's really important, but also to encourage and inspire people to hopefully run for something or get involved in a campaign. We have to have really powerful teams around us to win campaigns. And so if anybody's interested in getting engaged in that capacity, there's plenty of members that would love support, especially those of us who come from underrepresented communities. You know, Leish Kozlowski's got some work to do up in Duluth. We have Michael Reyes that's running in 2B out in Leech Lake and White Earth area. And so we need to keep the Native Caucus strong as well, because, as you know, Jamie Beckerfin retired, and that's going to be a huge loss for us in the Native Caucus and what we can do in Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. And what a great job Jamie has done, and she deserves a break for sure, because boy, when there was a majority, they were, what was it, about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even shorter, they were mean to her. There were people mm-hmm. coming at her that was just so disrespectful. And I know you get that too, but it's just like, it was all over the news and it was just totally insane. Yeah, voting. And one of the things that I always want to talk about is to get those young ones to vote too for the first time, because once they do that, Heather, they're a voter for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And realizing that your voice matters, because I think too, there's this idea that like, well, I'm just one voice and it doesn't really matter. And if you look at the margins, you know, in which some people are winning their seats, we're talking 10 votes, 15 votes, 20 votes. Like, that's you and your crew getting in a car and making sure you and your family go and vote. And so these state races are so important, especially for the House, because we're the smaller of the constituencies. You know, it's really our responsibility to show up and be the voice for people. But it's also important for the people to show up to be a voice for themselves. And that happens by voting. And so, you know, you're right. I work with a lot of our high schoolers. I go into our government classes and I kind of just humanize, like, who are your legislators and what decisions do we make that impact your life? And instantly they're like, what? State legislators do all of these things? And it's like, we definitely do all of the things. And so it's important to get involved.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, with Wendy's advocacy, I've had my opportunities to come to the Capitol, whether it's saving wolves or talking about education. And so coming and visiting legislators is welcomed by the legislators, and you find out they're real people and they have real concerns and they do listen.
Mm-hmm. And we're stretched very thin and super stressed. You know, I think there's this idea that, you know, we can respond to every email within minutes, or like have a suggestion or an idea to solve a complex situation right off the bat. And so we are human and it takes us a while to learn and to grow. And that's why too, I tell everybody, if you're going to reach out to me and yell at me, that's fine. But also educate me. I'm a lifelong learner and I know that we have to approach situations kind of from a scientific mind frame and really being open to seeing where all the solutions can be. And some of those solutions aren't in my own brain. And so I ask people to educate us, educate me. Don't just be mean, because I think we're just mean to politicians when the truth is we're just people trying to do good work.
Absolutely. Hey, we got less than a minute left. State Representative Heather Keeler, I've gone the whole show without calling you Senator.
I mean, but you did start off saying I was going to be a senator, which is not true either.
A big peanut geeky for being on and calling me on my stuff. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Joe Zepecki here to talk about Project 2025, two women on the opposite side of the abortion issue, and a way to make flying a little more enjoyable. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden's trip to France concludes today with a visit to a World War I military cemetery. Saturday, during a state dinner in Paris, he said during a toast,
I know I don't look it, but I'm only 40 years old. But all kidding aside, I've been here many times, but this has been the most remarkable trip that I've ever made.
It was to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. He also called for Western allies to stand united behind